Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well with you. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office. Still on lockdown. I lost count of days and weeks, and I'm assuming that soon we will be counting years. Feels that way. But hopefully we'll be back soon. Hope that you're doing well. I'm trusting that you're doing well. I want to thank you once again for coming to the home fellowships, being faithful to attend those on Sundays and Wednesday service at my home. I appreciate that. And this particular, these recordings or these podcasts are really for those who cannot make it because you're at high risk or you don't feel comfortable being around others. And I get that. And I just want you to know it's important. And so even though I can't see you, I am fellowshipping with you through this. And if you have any need of any prayer, those of you that attend church, you know how to get a hold of me. My all my information is in the church directory. So why are we here? We are here tonight to do one thing and one thing only with respect to the Word of God, and that is to study to show thyself approved, a workman, that's you and that's me, who does not need to be ashamed, right? We don't need to be ashamed, but we understand that we know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And that is what we're doing tonight, rightly dividing the word of truth on creation, day six, the last day of creation, but not the last day of the creation story, because the last day of the story is when God rested on the seventh day to make those things complete. Now, remember, seven is the number of completion in the Old Testament, and that's why we see it throughout Scripture as a the whole story is a seven-day issue. So, introduction, I just want to give a recap. Remember, day one was God said, and let there be light, and there was light. And day two said, let there be sky, something between the water in the air and the water on the ground, and there was a vast array of sky all over in the atmosphere. And then day three, God separated the land from water, and he created the plants, right? So he had the land come up from the sea and form dry places, and then he had water recede to the lower places, and on the land he grew plants. Day four, he created the moon, the sun, and the stars. Day five, he created the fish and the birds, and the last day he's going to create everything that he has not created. So if you can figure out what that's going to be. So our text tonight is Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 through 31. And God said, verse 24, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath in of life in it, I give you every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw what that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So a couple of observations. So the Bible says that on the sixth day, God, you know, obviously created during creation week, he made the animals that live on the land, and he did this by commanding the earth to bring forth, or the land to bring forth, animals, and it did so. I don't really know, that's a mystery to me, because it's easy to explain when God commanded the land or the earth to bring forth plants, because plants grow in the soil, but when he called the earth to bring forth animals, those things would have had to been created. Now, remember, all of these things were created without materials, right? Without pre-existing materials. The only two creations that God created from pre-existing materials were Adam and Eve, right? So God made the animals of a special use to us, the cows and the sheep and the horses. He made the small animals like the squirrels and the spiders and the rabbits that and mice and frogs and lizards and the beasts like the apes and the elephants and all kinds of beasts. And on this day, you know, God made all these different kinds of dinosaurs, right? And all of these things appeared immediately upon the command of God. And all were peacefully together. And it just must have been amazing, right? And I think these animals instinctively knew what to go, where their habitat was, where they felt most comfortable. And how do we know that God made dinosaurs in the Bible? Because the Bible does not mention dinosaurs. Well, the Bible doesn't mention giraffes or elephants that are just as significant, or kangaroos either. Yet we know that God made them because he made the land animals. And we can, you know, safely say that God made the dinosaurs on day six as well, because they're land animals too. So did these animals struggle to evolve over millions of years? No, they did not. They were created. They were called into existence. And the Bible tells us that God made each animal after its kind. So what does that mean? You know, that God, just like everything else that he called into, a grapevine, a grape, you know, plant that he made, it's not going to grow watermelon, right? So every animal after its kind had the power to make and reproduce animals of their own kind. You know, sheep would give birth to sheep. One kind could not change into a different kind then or now. It just doesn't happen. Rabbits have rabbit babies, and kangaroos have kangaroo babies, and the same is true for every other animal. And while when dinosaurs laid their eggs, baby dinosaurs hatched out, and they weren't birds, right? So let's go a little deeper. So we understand that God called forth the animals, and we can safely say that he called them into existence, and they existed on the land, and they instinctively knew what to do, and they were created male and female, and they knew what to do. And he gave them the ability to reproduce, right? Which meant that this was a sustaining creation. But going deeper, the first man that God makes is Adam, and in the likeness of God himself, right? So the earth was now ready for, to be a home for the greatest creation that God would create, and that was human beings. And God made Adam and Eve, and before this, he had a little chat, right? And the scripture is clear, because God says, hey, let us make man in our image. I mean, who was there that he was talking to? Well, most of us believe, including myself, that it was the Trinity, the same Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that were there at creation. If you go back to the teachings before we started day one, I speak to that. It wasn't to the angels, because we're not made in the image of an angel, or it would have said so. And not any of the animals, like apes, because we're not made in their image either, right? God did not say, let's make man in the image of an ape that we just created. It must have been a conversation among the three persons of the Trinity, right? Our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And the Hebrew word for God in Genesis indicates that there's more than one person. So why? Well, possibly to show how special man is, and that he is absolutely different from all the animals that God created. And he was just different. Something of the nature of God was breathed into man, right? So man is special. My second point. We are like God in many ways, and unlike animals in many ways, right? God is spirit, according to John chapter 4, verse 24. And so, unlike animals, you and I have an eternal, immortal spirit, and it can be filled with God's Holy Spirit, and we can pray to God directly, right? Animals don't have the ability to do that. God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. So you can love and worship God and love other people and know his love. Animals cannot do this. Now, animals can instinctively show that they love you, but they can't communicate their love for you verbally, right? Like God, Psalm 34 says God is good, and we are to be good, right? I tell my kids a lot, and probably not enough, but I wish in an endeavor that my kids are good before they are anything else, before they're successful, before they're smart, before they're compassionate, that they would be good people. And God is holy and perfect, and this means that he never does anything that is wrong, and he commands us to be holy and perfect as well, Leviticus 11:44 and Matthew 5:48. So unlike animals, people have a conscience, and which tells us what is right from wrong. And we are different from animals. Now, number three here is we are different from the animals in many other ways, too. And number one, we can talk with other people as well as with God. Animal, they have signs and they have warnings and they have aggression. They have friendship to each other by the sounds that they make. But, you know, they the way they stand and move by facial expressions and by their odor, that's how they kind of communicate, right? However, animals can't speak. They can't write a true language. It's just not an animal who writes things down and has the ability to pass that on. That's man that is able to do that. And we can choose what we want to do. And an important thing, animals do things by instinct, right? Animals do things by instinct. We've seen countless times where people thought that they could live amongst carnivores, and then, you know, they're shocked when the carnivore turns on them, because that's the instinct. The instinct of an animal is to eat when it's hungry. It doesn't really decipher what it can and what it can't eat, especially when it's trying to survive in the wilderness. So we can confront others in their sorrow and laugh with others in their joys. And an animal may be a help to another. I've had animals that have been a help to me, but they can't communicate, and they can't, they don't show compassion the way that human beings do. Our compassion, our ability to minister to one another is very, very complex, and animals are very, very simple. We can cultivate the fields and plant and reap crops. Animals cannot do that. We can invent complex things like computer games and musical instruments and paintings and mathematics and aircraft and clocks and measure time. Animals make nests and burrows, but this is their limit, right? This is their limit to their creativity. Very rarely an animal will actually make a tool, and there are some monkeys that have been able to do that. To break coconuts, they'll make a rock and make a tool out of it, but that is their extent, right? So God knew that a time would come when God, the Son, would become man on earth, and he chose that person in Jesus Christ, and God gave Jesus Christ the same body that he gave Adam, right? In the form of a man. He didn't come in the form of an ape. He didn't come in the form of an animal. He came in the form of man. So let's talk about the first woman. Well, the first woman, and to make the first woman, God would do something very special. He caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, and he took one of Adam's ribs, and with great wisdom and skill that God had, from this he built a lovely woman to be Adam's wife and helper, right? So we know that Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. Eve was formed from the woman. Again, these are from the rib of a man, pre-existing materials. And when God gave her to Adam, it was love at first sight. Adam named her Eve, which means life, because she would become the mother of the whole human race, right? Everybody that who has ever lived since has descended from Eve. So, and don't worry about Adam. God knew that he was doing what he was doing and removing his rib. And this is an amazing thing. This is the only bone in the body that can grow back, right? When God removed Adam's rib, it grew back. It is known that it's possible for that to happen. If you break other bones in your body, they mend, but they don't necessarily grow back like a rib will grow back. And their children were not affected. So men and women today have the same number of ribs. And God blessed Adam and Eve, and he told them to have many children and fill the earth. And so it was God who designed marriage. And there's so much more to this day of creation than animals and a man and a woman, because on this day, marriage was created as well. And a man and a woman. And not only was a man and a woman created, but the family unit way back in Genesis. So God also told Adam and Eve, and when he looked after, he told them to look after the earth, and God wanted people who had been made in his image to care for the earth and everything in it on his behalf. And, you know, we're meant to find out all about the earth and use this knowledge for the benefit of the people and the animals in a way that's pleasing to God. We have a responsibility. So, the fifth thing, God created the animals for man and not man for animals. I'm sorry, God created animals for man, not man for animals. And the animals, too, were to obtain their food from every plant of the tree. And so God said in the beginning that neither man nor animal should eat meat, right? It was only after the flood in Noah's time that man began to eat meat. Everything on day six was beautiful. It was perfect. It had a purpose. And nothing God made was bad or evil. There was a struggle. There was no struggle for existence, no disease, no suffering, no coronavirus, no sin. And above all, the no death among the people or animals. It was perfect, right? And during the creation read, God looked at what he had done and what he had made, and he called it good six times. Now, on the sixth day, with everything that was finished, God looked again on joyfully, and he said, what I've done is very good, right? Excuse me. So lastly here is the dinosaurs. The word dinosaur is not in the Bible because the word was not invented until about 165 years ago. However, the dinosaur-like animal is called behemoth in Job. It's described in chapter 40, verse 15 through 19. And another is called Leviathan in Job 41. So the Hebrew word, commonly translated dragon, appears in the Old Testament in the King James Version over 30 times. And modern versions like the NIV use the word monster, Psalm 74, 13, and Isaiah 51, 9. And so from the Bible, we can see that man and dinosaurs once lived together, right? So what does all this mean, and what is the takeaway from you? Well, here's the beautiful thing. There's three things that I want you to consider tonight, especially the first one, and that is God created man for himself, right? All the other things that God created were different. They had a purpose, right? The plants were to be consumed. The animals were to be lorded over by the man and the woman. But man he made for himself because he said, let us make man in our image. And so we share a lot of God's attributes. We share a lot of his personality. We must share something to the way that he looks like. But more importantly, God created man for himself for what purpose? To reflect him, to glorify him, to worship him, and to love him. And think about that. The Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, right? My little granddaughter in Colorado, Mia, that is her Bible verse, right? She's memorized it. And when her mama calls me and I get to FaceTime her, she does her Bible verse and she says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's exactly right. To do what? To reflect God. We are made to reflect his love. We are made to reflect his compassion and his mercy, right? We are made to glorify him in everything that we do. We are made to worship him. That God says, if you don't worship me, the very rocks will cry out. So we have a job. We got to worship him and we got to love him. And in loving him, the true way that we love God is by loving others, right? So God created man for himself. Number two, God created the animals for man and not man for animals. And guys, I realize the audience that I am speaking to. I realize where we are in society, that we are highly adapted human beings and very smart. However, never ever in history have animals been risen to the level that they have been risen to in this society. Okay, there are dogs that live better than man does on this earth. There are dogs that go to the doctor more than men do. There are dogs that get fed every day and there are men who are going hungry. And that's not right. It's not right. I am an animal lover, but I am first a man lover. Because that animal was not fearfully and wonderfully made like me. It was a secondary creation that God made for me. And I know that people listening to this are going to have a problem with that. But you know what? I remember visiting San Francisco, and you know, when you go to San Francisco, it's a land of dogs, right? And these dogs have elaborate hospitals and elaborate, funeral homes and burial plots and this and that, and they have rules for dogs that can go anywhere and all this other stuff, and yet you see these homeless people lying there next to a crack needle on the side of the street, and it's just ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous that we have treated our animals better than human beings. God did not make animals for him. He made man for him. He made animals for us. And he said, you're to rule over those animals, right? We're to rule over those animals. And if an animal gets in the way of, you know, my family or hurting my family, that animal's going to die, just like a man trying to hurt my family would die as well. And you can be, you know, you could be thrown in jail in this world for killing an animal at the wrong time, at the wrong season. You can be fined. And yet I understand that a lot of that is for the management of animals, which I think is extremely important, that we need to manage them. God gave us the power to rule over them. In fact, he gave us the command to rule over the animals. Animals don't rule over us. We rule over them. Same with the fish in the sea and the birds in the air. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be responsible. Our seas have been overfished, and I think that it's good to put those things into effect. However, there are organizations that are just militant because they put animals and their survival over any. They waste millions and millions and probably $1 billion on money that could have been given to poor people or given to the homeless or to feed people that have been exiled. And what do? They're taking care of animals before man. And if they had it their way, at the end, man would be desolate and animals would thrive on this earth. And that's just not what God's heart is, right? So number one, God created man for himself. Number two, God created animals for man, not man for animals. And number three, God created Adam and Eve, but more importantly, he created Eve for Adam. And I think that's an amazing thing, right? Remember, Adam, there was no beast, there was no animal that would be a helpmate to him, that would be somebody that he would enjoy. And God specifically made this woman for him, from him, and for him. And from that, we get marriage. And from that, we get family. And God said in his word, and this is the next group of people that I'm going to offend, male and female, he created them. And you say, well, Greg, that's not right. You can't say that. There's a lot of other categories now. You guys, the categories that have been added to male and female are the categories that we have added outside of God's word. That is a factual statement. I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry. The Bible was not written to come along and comfort you at every little level in your world. It said he created them male and female, period. And God created Eve for Adam, and that's a beautiful thing that God did. You men that have a beautiful wife, God created that woman for you. Those of you women that are waiting, God has created a man for you, period. And that's a beautiful thing in this covenant relationship of marriage, which is not easy. I'm telling you right now, it's difficult. And I've told you before, marriage is the hardest thing that I do. But it's from the Lord, created by God for us. And from that marriage, from that relationship, when God told Adam and he told Eve that you were to leave your mom and your dad and cleave to one another, from that relationship comes family. And family is awesome, right? It's awesome. Not only for us, but for animals. We see animals enjoy family, and they have packs, and they have hierarchy, and they have all kinds of things. All of that came from the creation day six. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. So if you're listening to this for the first time and you haven't hit stop on your computer because of what I've said have made you so angry, trust me, God has a lot to say about how things were made. And most of what you hear and most of what you get today is man's version of that. And what I have just shared with you is straight out of the Word of God. This is what God wanted us to understand and us to rightly divide with respect to creation. And there is one more thing that God did on the last day of creation, which is just as important as all the things that he created, was rest. And I want you to think about that as we move into the next week, about how much rest you get, right? So if you're listening for the first time, you don't know Jesus Christ, you say, well, Greg, you've explained creation in a way that I can no longer deny it, and I want to know God. Well, it's easy, my friend. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. right? You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be given the gifts of the Spirit. You'll be given the fruits of the Spirit, and you'll be called to grow in those things. And if you've made that decision, call us, please. Our phone number is on the website that you're on right now. Let us know the decision that you've made, and we will rejoice with you. If you already know the Lord and you're encouraged, I want to give you this. He has shown you, O man and woman, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, what it is that you're supposed to be doing, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you.